Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, everyone. It's Friday, and now we have that echo again. I want to let Seth know. Let's get rid of that. Okay, it's dry. Very good. Thank you, Seth. I want to thank Donald and Seth for doing such a great job working on the audio, getting the Skype to function properly. It's much easier when I only hear one of me, and I'm sure it's probably enough for my listeners to hear one of me. They don't need two or three of me. Okay, this is excellent. Let's keep it that way. We don't have a special guest tonight. I had hoped to have Fred Smart on the show tonight. Something came up, and he was unable to make it. However, he did express his sincerest apologies and wanted to assure the listening audience that he would be coming on as soon as he possibly can fit an appearance into his schedule, maybe next week. So we're holding our breath and crossing our fingers that he will be able to do that. Fred has been an activist in several areas. I came to know him when he was the head of the volunteer organization behind movie producer Aaron Russo's documentary film, America, Freedom to Fascism. And Fred actually introduced me to Aaron Russo, and I became the national theatrical screening coordinator for getting the movie placed in theaters throughout the country. I was assisting the volunteers and groups that were trying to book theaters, private events, special events, where people in large and small groups alike could view this groundbreaking film that he produced, exposing what was going on with the Federal Reserve and our fiat banking system, as well as some of the plans that the shadow government and the powers that be, the the hidden hand, if you want to call it that, had planned for our future. Now, Fred also has a radio show. He's taken up the cause of Ed and Elaine Brown tax protesters that are now in prison. They just asked the government to show them the law, and, of course, they were railroaded through a kangaroo court, for lack of a better word. They were basically denied the submission of their evidence and denied the opportunity to ask that question in front of a jury. And they chose not to go to court. They stopped going to court. They became holed up in their house and went through quite a bit of government harassment, black helicopters buzzing their house, and people were coming to their aid. Many of those people who were assisting the Browns have been arrested and are in trouble themselves just for taking a stand in their effort to address constitutional issues. Many people who are aware of the Constitution and the principles upon which it stands and the principles upon which our country was founded know that our rights are being violated, and it basically flushed the Constitution down the toilet. And Fred has been very vocal, not just in coming to the aid of the Browns and helping them get their message out. He took over the hosting of the Ed and Elaine Brown show on Republic Broadcasting Network. And he has also taken up a torch for the presidential candidate, Ron Paul. And Fred is crucial in bringing people together. It's a natural talent he has in networking people and coming up with solutions. Another interesting fact about Fred is his knowledge of numerology, and in a spiritual sense, he can equate much of what happens with numbers with particular passages in the Bible and significant events in the Bible, not necessarily quoting scripture per se, but relating God's mighty power in God's word and how that translates into numbers. So he would be an interesting guest for a number of reasons. And in fact, it's interesting that his interest in numbers leads him directly into dealing with people in numbers and in ever greater numbers as the days go on. So we look forward to having Fred with us in the near future. It is December 14th on the East Coast, still December 13th on the West Coast. And you're a bit behind, but we're going to catch you up to speed here. Tonight is the perfect night for me to vent a little bit and discuss some issues. Now, I don't want to come across angry. It's very easy to get angry with what's going on in the world and the fact that our lawmakers, our representatives in government do little to right the wrongs that are being done. They do even less to stop the organized crime that's occurring in real time. And I don't want to function or focus so much on that tonight, primarily because I would like to pick up where I left off. Oh, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, about this time when I was discussing how we have been programmed from childhood and how this has entered into the school system and how it's generally accepted that that programming that we accept is moved then into our adulthood, into our vocations, or into our continuing education. I didn't go into that too much, but I'm going to touch on some of these things. Again, I'm going to be all over the board because these issues
Well, we're back. We had a technical interruption, but I know exactly where I was when this started, so I will continue. Welcome back to Evident Footprints. This is your host, Don Nikoloff. I was saying that we are conditioned to accept the reality that has been created for us from childhood, and we move through life dealing with problems, dealing with issues, never really coming to a full consciousness that this control mechanism is being ramped up as we move through life. In fact, many of us now are awakened to the fact that this is going on in an accelerated fashion today because we are waking up. In fact, testament to the point that I just made is that because we are waking up, they are speeding up the control. And we are noticing it because we are becoming more conscious of other things besides what the government does to us. They tell us what we can do. They tell us how we should do it, when we should do it, and under what rules we should do it. They tell us what we should think. They tell us how we should think and that to have certain types of thoughts or crimes, particularly if we speak out against those who are trying to control us. Now, I think we have Skype back, so I'm going to try to go back again and...
Okay, I think we're back on Skype now. Are you hearing me in the control room? Well, I'm presuming you're hearing me, so I'm going to keep talking. Okay, now, as I was saying, since they tell us how we think, they tell us what to think and when to think, and of course, our speech is a reflection of what we're thinking, so... They're trying to criminalize right now what we say, possibly even what I'm saying right now, which is kind of ironic, because to criminalize the truth in and of itself would be a crime. And so as I speak the truth, you use your own discernment and see if it doesn't ring true for you. I'm going to go into a discussion of words, like I did the last time, but I don't want to make it boring. I camped out on the word recess just to use an example of how it means one thing to a child, and yet it goes all the way up to our legal system. It goes all the way up to how we legislate these laws, in fact. Both the courts and the Congress and the Senate use the term recess. As a child does in kindergarten or first grade or second grade, the lower grades in elementary school. And it's this free time that we have from the normal grind, the normal routine. Now, that's one example of the use of the word and how we're made to accept the consequences of what that word represents. I'd like to bring up some other words that are used in our consciousness, or let's say used to control our consciousness, to keep us from reaching a higher awareness. An example would be the word belief, and I've talked about this word in the past, and for a brief moment I'd like to go over that. A belief is an assumption that something is so, based upon the facts or the so-called facts, or the information that's presented to us in the form of a fact. If it's given to us by the mainstream media, we are to accept that that is the truth because it's the media telling us. If it comes from the President of the United States, through the media, through the TV, through the radio, through the newspapers, we are to accept the fact that because the President uttered the words, that they're true. And because it was on the media or through the media, it was transmitted or communicated to us, that we are to accept it as fact, as truth. Now, when we find out it isn't the truth, what is our reaction? We have a choice. We can point out the fact that we are aware that it is not the truth, and we can seek the truth and present the truth as a replacement for what is not the truth. Think about that for a moment. Because we're presented facts about 9/11. We're presented facts about the economy. We're presented facts about the nature of the water we drink. We're presented facts, and I use that word with a modicum of hesitation, because they're not really facts. When you talk about chemtrails, or water for that matter, because the fluoride in water does not prevent tooth decay. Now, what it does is it dumbs you down, it makes you passive, it it actually causes other things to happen to you physiologically. It's a toxin. It's a poison. The fluorides in water are taken from the manufacturing process of aluminum. It's a byproduct of aluminum manufacturing, and to get rid of it, they put it in the water because they've discovered that it dumbs us down. It makes you passive to the extent that you become apathetic to what is happening to you. And so as your rights are being stripped from you, you don't do what would be normal, and that is to claim your sovereignty, assert your sovereignty, assert your own personal authority between you and your creator who puts you on this earth, who gave you the gift of life. And as a result, you are not only throwing that gift away, but you are submitting to an authority that is not based upon the truth. Because if it was based upon the truth, it would be following God, would it not? The source of the truth. So if it doesn't come from the source, it comes from somewhere else. And our job then is to determine or discern from where it comes. Anything that is not of the truth then would be opposite of God or devoid of God. Or for those of you who are uncomfortable with the word God, I'll use the word creator. God is the creator, however. And a lot of people get caught up in the nomenclature of who God is. I think no man really knows until he comes face to face with God, does he know God's name. And that, as I understand that, from what I've learned, from what I've studied, no man really knows God's name, that he would be so great, or he, she would be so great, because God wouldn't just be the male aspect, he would be the female aspect too. God would be so great and so incomprehensibly great that I couldn't even say his name, or I couldn't even gaze upon his presence, that his light would be so brilliant. And yet there is some aspect of me, if I can raise my vibration, if I can raise myself up, if I can raise my consciousness and my purpose and my action and my thoughts and my discernment to a high enough level, I might be afforded the opportunity to see God or to know God more intimately than I do in this three-dimensional shell that I'm in. And it would be the same for you. Now, we're all at different levels of consciousness, so this is an argument in and of itself. Everyone has their own interpretation, but that's between you and God. That's between you and the Creator. Where does a man or a group of men who are in the business of creating illusory paper, which represents money, which automatically puts those who use the money for a medium of exchange in a position of servitude or slavery or debt, where do they get the authority to act as if they themselves were the creator and make those determinations? Even our creator gives us free will. And these people are taking it away from us. Their purpose for existence is to act opposite of God, to be the opposite of the creator, or to be an antithesis of the creation. That's where the term Antichrist comes from when we speak in terms of Christ's purpose, Christ's role in the creation here on earth and in our salvation. There are many people I talk to every day on the phone or in email who tell me, well, they're not convinced that Christ exists. Well, they don't know Christ. The most I can do is try to lead them to Christ and share what I know about Christ. And the same with the Holy Spirit. there are intangibles in the creation that we are oblivious to because of our lack of consciousness or our choice not to give credibility to those aspects. In other words, if it's not in your reality to recognize that there is a God, that there is a creator, that's part of your free will to think and feel and believe that or know that. Now, the difference between the word belief, which is an assumption based on what you were told, the information you have been provided, and knowing is like night and day. When you know something, no amount of belief can change what you know. And so your consciousness rises to the level of the knowing. Your action and your thoughts come from the knowing. And so by acting through the knowing, you act in a more natural way, the way you were created, the way we were all created, and you make a more permanent, it might be intermittent, but you make a more frequent or a more permanent connection to your higher self or to spirit. And that is the eternal. Eternal is lasting. It's existing forever. It has no end and it has no beginning. It just is. It's everything. And eternity exists of truth, truths that are valid always, not true some of the time and then false the rest of the time. Truth is what it is, and its nature is unchanging. We cannot change the truth. It's already been created for us. The job we have, or the mission we have, is to recognize the truth, to know the truth. No one ever said you have to believe the truth. It's always been referred to as something to know. Truth seekers want to know the truth. Now let's use the word want. Let's replace that with desire. Truth seekers desire to know the truth. Why did I change that word? Because to use the word want implies that we lack. Want is a lack. My wants, the things I lack. Your wants, the things you lack. Our wants, the things we lack. The things we lack are the things we do not have. They can be the things that we desire. Our wants, our desires, our wants can be intentions, which is actually putting our desires into action, propelling them forward out of a state of stagnation. When we intend, we now add the mind, and we add the universal mind if we're thinking in the grandest context. If I say a prayer for you, I say the prayer in full understanding, in the knowledge, in the expectation that that prayer has already been answered. And my expression of that prayer is sending that wave of energy out into the universe. That thought form goes out into the universe. And according to how I word the prayer, the universe responds. If I pray to God, if I pray to Jesus, if I pray that the Holy Spirit prospers me financially, and I say, I want lots of money. Dear God, I want money. Dear universe, I want money. The universe hears me say, I lack money. And it says, fine, you continue to lack money. It's as simple as that. We've been taught to use the word want to replace it for desires, or intend to possess, or intend to own, or intend to take control of, intend to take ownership of, to claim ownership. These are all different meanings of the word want, really what we intend to say. Well, we don't really intend to say lack, do we? Yet that is what we say. The word belief is another such word. It's an airy, smoky, veily kind of word that really is based upon something else. Need is another word. Need is what we lack. And we use the word need as if it means something that we must have in order to accomplish something. Something that we lack to accomplish something. So when we say, I need lots of money, Lord, I want lots of money, Lord, we're praying to God, we're putting that message out into the universe that comes back to us empty because we've sent nothing out there except an affirmation of lack. Or the opposite of abundance. Jesus spoke about abundance. Many religions speak about abundance. Even the universal spiritual movement, the New Age movement, speaks about abundance. And I hear people, and I'm not criticizing these people. I'm just pointing out that I hear people say, you just have to believe something and then you'll get it. Well, I think they mean to say you have to have faith. We're not specific enough in that. And there are many that use the word belief that will argue with me, and that's their right to argue that. If they can convince me that belief replaces knowledge, then I'll start believing. But my faith is a trust that goes beyond belief. It's a personal trust. It's a personal conviction based on my discernment and my overwhelming conviction that something is so. On my own, not someone telling me that I have to subscribe to their policy, their agenda, their rule. And so we make the mistake in letting others solve our problems for us. What am I doing? In a sense, I'm solving your problems for you if I can awaken you to these truths. These are what I know to be truths. Are they the ultimate truths? By all means, no. I do not know everything there is to know. But notice I didn't say I don't believe everything there is to believe. That's pretty fuzzy, pretty cloudy definition or statement to make. And I can't hang my hat on a belief because it comes from some knowledge or some representation of fact that someone else gave me. Yet we do this unconsciously. We've been taught to do this. We must recognize that we've been taught to do that. It's expected for us to do that. And just in case you doubt that, turn on your TV and listen to some commercials. Because they're using that technique to get you to buy their product, to get you to spend your money, to get you trapped into a system that serves you no purpose except to remain trapped and disempowered. And so what I'm telling you now should disempower you, should empower you. Pardon me for misspeaking there. You should be empowered by this. You don't rely on someone else other than the greater forces in the cosmos at that point. And you have to align yourself with those forces. You can't work against them. The conditions on planet Earth right now are such, they are the way they are because we are violating universal laws. We are violating God's laws. In the Ten Commandments, there's explicit instructions not to make any idols, not to place any idols before God. Now, for those people that are uncomfortable with that concept, who would you replace the Creator with? Who would you replace the All That Is with? What more is there than everything? Who would you replace that with? What face? Would it have blonde hair? Would it wear lipstick? Would it have a mustache? Would it be on the cover of a magazine? Would it be getting out of a limousine at some event with people screaming and as they walk down a red carpet, getting some kind of preferential treatment as if they're something that came down from heaven specifically just to bless your day? While you struggle with your life, is that person putting the food on your table? Is that person paying your bills? Are they sending your kids to school? Are they comforting your children when they're sick? Are they giving your children spiritual nourishment? Yet these are the people the media parades in front of us because it keeps us dumbed down. It keeps us unconscious. It keeps us from knowing the truth about who we are. And it prevents us from awakening to the extent to where we can solve the problems that we have. Our biggest problem is we don't know who we are. We don't know, in not knowing who we are, we don't know how we relate to each other. And we don't identify the fact that this society on this planet has been created to control us and to pit us against each other, if that serves the purpose of control for the moment. This is what terrorism is about. This is what war is about. This is what professional sports is about. This is what amateur sports is about. Sports in and of itself is not malevolent. In fact, it's treated as a benevolent event every 4 years at the Olympics, but they use this subtly to mold us into this concept of a global society. It would not be a pristine utopic society, though. It will be a global society under control. After all, they open the games. One person, the secretary of the Olympic Committee, goes and gives a speech, and they have big pageantry, which is beautiful. It's wonderful to see people come together like that. Then they light the Olympic torch. They light the flame, okay? This flame quite possibly could represent the dark side. Although it doesn't appear that, oh, how can you say that about the Olympic torch? It's such a beautiful thing. Remember that Satan himself represents himself oftentimes in fire. And demons express themselves through fire. So there's a lot of ritual going on here that without discernment, you may not really grasp what's really going on. In 1972, they used the Olympics as a staging event for a terrorist activity. They had the whole world's attention on the Olympics. And they had, if I remember correctly, it was somebody like the Palestinian Liberation Organization, they claimed, went in and killed at least 11 members of the Israeli Olympic team. What's the purpose for killing people at an event like that, at a celebration? Is that to draw attention, or is that to create the atmosphere of fear? And that is the tool they use at every turn. They use mental fear, they use physical fear. The fear is worked into the law. The fear is worked into your consciousness about the economy, about the physical possessions that you own, the material possessions that you own, how you look physically, how you think. Everything is based upon fear. They feed off of the fear. And then they give us statements like, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Well, even when you fear fear, you have fear. So in saying that there's nothing to fear except fear, they're creating fear. You're to fear feeling fear. So even in the process of stopping feeling fear, you're fearing it. You're fearing the feeling of the fear. It's the tricks that they use with the language, changing the meanings of the words and presenting them. I was reading something earlier today. I was reading something about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy and some interesting information that came out about a Lieutenant Commander Bruce Pitzer who took the pictures at the Kennedy autopsy. And he himself was murdered. They claimed he committed suicide. Again, we had another one of these Bethesda Naval Hospital suicides. Seems like everybody that goes to that hospital commits suicide. It doesn't seem like the place you would want to put a sick person because they're going to commit suicide there. Why is it that we can't grasp what's going on with these issues? Now, what was interesting is he filmed something that was an anomaly. The appearance of the president's head was very different from what it was when it was at Parkland Hospital in Dallas, when he had first been taken to the emergency room. In fact, the description of what went on with President Kennedy's body, particularly the contents of the skull, is horrible, gory to even mention it. I'm not going to mention it right now. It's for another time, another discussion. But the fact that this person held some very, very damning evidence to show the cover-up behind the murder. Oh, we had a commission. The commission takes care of everything. They had one for 9/11, too. What happened to murder? What happened to trying these people for murder? What happened to launching a murder investigation? No one asked for a commission. No, they created the commission. They told us what they were going to do. And we did nothing about it. We let it happen. We did this again with 9/11. The commission, even the people in the commission are saying we don't have all the facts or we didn't have all the facts. And people are coming out, scientists are coming out, saying that's impossible for two 110-story buildings, skyscrapers, to fall like they did, free fall. In a matter of seconds. And I still say I agree with them. And I've seen things on the videos that have been kept from the mainstream media that show me that I'm right about that as well. They're right. I'm right. We're all right. All of us that say it was an inside job. It was. Terrorism is an inside job. The repression of society is an inside job. You are you telling us that Osama bin Laden's taking our rights away from us? And we have these shootings going on in schools. And then in malls. The president goes to a mall in Omaha, Nebraska, and all of a sudden there's this mall shooting in Omaha, Nebraska. Come on, people, wake up. We're being played like banjos, like out-of-tune banjos. And they're not even playing a recognizable song. And we have people that just glaze over when you tell them about this because the fluoride kicks in and the drugs that they're taking kick in. And all of the suppressive education that they went through, what they call education, all it is mind control. And they put the label education on it, and because you lasted 13 years through the system, if you made it through high school, or 17 years if you went to college, or longer if you got a specialized degree, all you did was comply with the control system that was put in place. They didn't put that in there to extricate you from it. They put it in there to keep you under the domination of the system. Now, their intention is to do that eternally, but it's not by following the meaning of the word eternal. It's taking just the simple translation of the word and using the word forever or replacing the word forever. Eternity has no beginning and no ending. It just is. And it doesn't rely on the past. And it doesn't rely on the present or the future to distinguish itself. It just is. To grasp what the eternity is, I would suggest that we consider it in the form of the present, or what's called the eternal now. This moment expanded, stretched out from one end to the other. Now, to be conscious of that, you have to go outside of this box that they've put us in. You can't use the words that they've given us to use. Or you can't use the meanings, and you can't use the words in the manner in which they've taught us to use them. Every time someone points out the truth now in the media, they're attacked with the term conspiracy theory. I was reading this book, which was written a number of years ago, and they're referring to something that occurred back in the 90s, and that term conspiracy theory came out. In relation to the Kennedy assassination, what theory was there? It was a conspiracy, period. The evidence is overwhelming. There should be a murder investigation, and people should be tried for murder. And if it's 100 people, then 100 people should be tried for murder. That's the meaning of the word conspiracy, when they're acting together. When their plans are made together, when they're covering it up together, there's no theory about it. It's plain fact. You see, the word theory then causes you to lean on the or stand upon the word belief. And I've already told you what belief represents. You might as well just be sending up smoke signals. Go build yourself a fire, a campfire, and get a blanket and just send up smoke signals. Because that's what they're doing with that kind of language. And we're supposed to understand that. Or somehow, if we don't understand what that means, or we don't express our discontent with the use of it, that we are not politically correct. Oh, why? Where does this business of being politically correct come in? Not many people trust politicians, so why do we put so much weight on political correctness? What about eternal correctness? What about the truth? What about aligning ourselves with the truth? Forget about political correctness. Politicians lie, politicians cheat, politicians steal, politicians murder, politicians plot, politicians plunder. Politicians control the lives of those that they are supposed to be serving. The least of what they do is serve, other than themselves and their cohorts. Now that said, let's look at some other words that they use. The word dogma. Now, I hear this used sometimes when someone's describing my particular position on spiritual issues. If I say something that they've heard someone else say, and they've heard a false prophet bring forth that message, let's say it's about God, or it's about Jesus, or it's about the Holy Spirit, I don't take offense. I allow that person their sovereign right to know what they want to know, to be conscious of what they want, of what they want to be conscious, and even to believe. If they choose to believe, fine. But when they come to me asking for answers and they refuse to acknowledge that they're trapped in the belief system, then they're in a catch-22, and it becomes a waste of my time. And those of you out there who run into people like this, it's a waste of your time too. You feel like you're spinning your wheels. You're not getting anywhere because they're trapped in the dogma of the religion or the dogma of the education. What is dogma, really? What is it? Well, it's a principle, or it's a set of principles, a group of principles that have been laid out by some authority figure. In a church, it's the pastor of the church. or it's a special committee that the church has put together. And the dogma are the precepts that they follow, often not based upon the truth, but what they call tradition or ritual, or this is the way things are done here. And there's no possibility of creativity or expression of oneself, aligning oneself with a higher purpose, a higher vibration, or the truth, or the light, or the love, or the peace, or the joy that comes from the eternal. So we, again, through the dogma, we're in a box. We're compartmentalized. We have to conform to this belief system, or we're cast out from the crowd. It happens in the church. It happens in the Catholic Church, to the extent even that if people want to get divorced, if they choose that they can't get along and they have to get divorced, they have to pay money. That's the only chance they have to get a divorce in the Catholic Church, is to pay money. Good business. How would you feel if you tuned into this radio show and they said, well, you know, you haven't been listening regularly, so you have to pay money to hear the show tonight. Now, there are things that you have to pay for, and there are a lot of reasons you have to pay for them, but I think freeing yourself from bondage shouldn't be something that you have to pay for. The bondage itself is enough of a price. And the heartache and the grief that it causes others. And it causes this heartache and grief to others in unconscious ways, too, because when we put out the vibes of hatred to the universe gives that back to us, all magnified. And they know this. I say they, those that are playing this game on us, those that would control us as slaves, know these truths, and they keep them from us because they bombard us with the opposites, with the conflicting information, the conflicting circumstances that disable us, really. We become invalids, in a sense, unless we wake up. And those of us who have awakened have chosen to take another path. Some of us, to the extent that we turn away from these problems and leave them for others to solve. Well, I would love to just sit and play my music all day, and maybe that's just what I should do. Maybe I should stop doing this show. Maybe I should stop bringing the truth forward. Maybe I should stop challenging the shadow government or the one that's pretending it's a government. Maybe I should stop looking at the corruption in the finances of our federal government and our stock market, which is nothing more than it's like organized crime gambling, legalized gambling. And it's more corrupt than it is honest right now. Maybe I should stop reporting all that and just go into my own little shell and play my music. I would find happiness in that. Eternal happiness. But I would not be serving my ultimate purpose. My consciousness and my discernment have led me to this point where I have to share this message with you. I'm compelled to know that I have to share this message with you. And that I'm breaking an oath. I'm violating an oath that I have taken on some other level of consciousness if I don't follow through with that. How many of you do that in your day, in your family, in your business, in your daily activities? How many of you actually pursue your highest goals? How many of you seek to know who you are or to remember? Now, this is an interesting word worth discussing here, too, the word remember. When you are a member of something, you belong to it. or part of your body. Your arms are members of your body. Your legs are members of your body. Your toes are members of your body. Your ears, your eyes, every part of your body is a member of your body. And some, those members function better than they do in other people. Then we have this term, remember. Now, when we think of the term remember, we think of it as a mental function. Yet, I can remember my group if I disband the group, keep the name, and infuse it with new personalities, new people, new energy, new purpose, new consciousness. I can remember my group. So the word remember is not necessarily a mental activity or a mental process. Yet remembering, it's acceptable to mean that we recall something. Something comes back into our memory. But the word remember also could be restructure the way we were really created and turn on those parts of us that are shut off. Just like you can remember a group and make it function again, you can remember the human species, the body, the mind, and the spirit, the consciousness. Ultimately, it would be the consciousness. You don't take your body with you when you go, and what is left of your mind would be its connection to universal mind. And so the spirit and its ability to discern and perceive reality, the ultimate reality, is what would go on after life. That's been my experience in dying. That's what I had left. I didn't have my body with me. I had the ability to think, but I was not thinking in a three-dimensional context like I did on the earth. All I could see was my dreams, my aspirations, my goals, my loftiest goals. That's all my consciousness would permit me. And I saw higher knowledge. I tuned into the higher knowledge. And then had to confront the fact that I had to come back. And in having to confront that fact and having to relent and come back, I came back with a purpose, a renewed purpose. It was the same purpose I came here with originally, but I was conscious or more conscious of the purpose. And so it's been part of my walk here and my talk to bring others to their own individual consciousness, if it's their choice. I made a decision some time ago, those that are comatose, those that are in a coma, are going to remain there as long as they choose to. And that word choice is important. The word choose, the word choice. You choose to do this. No one has the right to force you to do it. That's not your sovereign right, is to have someone force their will upon you. Their agenda upon you. That's what we're dealing with today, folks. We must wake up to that fact. Now, we don't have to punish ourselves. You know, I speak about repentance. We can talk to the universe and repent. We can talk to God. After all, if you're talking to God, are you not talking to the universe? Or if you're talking to the universe, are you not talking to God? Did the universe just happen and it's just there and we're accidents too? Or is there a greater, grander purpose to why we're here? And if there is, then you have a duty to become conscious of that because you were given all the gifts that the Creator has. We were made in the Creator's image. We were made in God's image. And we strayed away from the original purpose of life on this planet. And he's calling us back to wake up and remember and choose who we are and who and what we choose to be. And we have to trust that those choices come from the highest part of ourselves. And if you're not sure, then you need to go inside and look at yourself. And a little bit of prayer wouldn't hurt you either. pick up the Bible. If you're not sure how to pray, there's plenty of instruction in the Bible on how to do that. And to read truths will help you. Now, are there any untruths in the Bible? There may be, but you will come to those conclusions on your own. It's not up to me to tell you. Come to those conclusions on your own. That's what being a sovereign being is all about. But if you're going to work with me, and I'm going to work with you, and we're all going to come together and work for the common good of mankind and the common good of this planet and our neighbors out there, of which there are many, then we need to come to some consciousness, or we must, I should say, get rid of that word need. This is a secret that is not in the secret. The one that they put out to us was an attempt to keep us locked in the physical, mental construct of material thinking and material consciousness. That's my appraisal of the book, The Secret, and the movie. It was kind of slick how they came out with the movie and the book at the same time, too. A lot of money went into that. Some of the people are well known. Some of the people I never heard of. What got me about the book is it used the idea of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, and much of which was based upon some of the teachings of Andrew Carnegie and W. Clement Stone. Those people aren't really mentioned in the book, however. They're not given credit. That idea was stolen. That book had already been written, Think and Grow Rich. They had to present it to us in another way because we are awakening. And they don't want us to awaken to spiritual truths. The spiritual truths will give us everything we need physically. We'll create the abundance that we need. We'll have the technologies. We'll overcome our illnesses. They can't afford for that to happen because it'll put the pharmaceutical companies out of business. Or it will require the pharmaceutical companies to actually begin doing what they claim they've been doing all along. And that's healing people. That's not what they do. They mask the symptoms. Now, I could be talking to you and masking the symptoms. Instead, I chose to show you the causes. And I showed you some ways to fix them. And unfortunately, we're out of time. I would love to keep going on this. The next time I have a rant, you have my word, I will come back to this subject. In the meantime, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm the host, Don Nikoloff. And tomorrow, we're going to have Charlie Giuliani on the show. So please join us. Peace, love, and light. Good night.